did you want?
Oh, thank you.
You get one, too.
Hey, wait, did you let them know they can stay?
Yes, they're here.
Oh, okay. All right, I got a couple of the elected officials in the bathroom, I guess, so we'll let you back. We'll get started. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to call to order this Wednesday, November 17, 2021, City of Mountain Park City Council work session. And we're going to start with, I'm going to do a little quick update on, I met with the representatives from Beezer Homes today. They are still fully committed to remedy, restoration of that cove over there next to the Cherokee County line. The issue that they're having, which is one that we've discussed already this evening, is they are finding it hard to find a company that can come in and do the work or is willing to do the work. They are having to rebid the work, so we have reached an agreement that we're going to put this in the first quarter of next year instead of the original agreement, which was by the end of October, first part of November. And I certainly understand their situation. They're looking at a couple more different options as far as how they may be able to do the removal of the silt, but they're still committed to doing it and just ask for a little more time so they can find the right partner to get this done. It looks like that, and we will keep you posted. The stewards are not going to allow the use of their property on the other side of the cove for access to removing the silt from the thing, but Beezer has assured me they can do this from this side. It will mean that the road between Spruce Street and the, I won't even say all the way up to the city limit side, but at least to the driveway for the home, which used to be the Johnson's home, the street will be blocked there. You'll either have to go out and go around because it will be, that's where the equipment will be placed to remove the silt and where the trucks will be coming to actually haul it off. So wanted to give you guys an update on that, and we'll keep you posted, but it will be sometime in the first 3 months of next year. First item on the unfinished business is the consideration of the property sale at Zero Spruce Street. And I'm going to also include in that the appearance by Suzanne Close regarding the sale of Zero Spruce Street. We'll start with the discussion and then we'll get to the appearance. How about that? All right. Any updates that City Hall would like to give us on that situation?
We're waiting on the city attorney to provide that information Monday night.
Okay.
As to whether or not it has to go up for a public sale or whether you as a council, as a governing body, can...
Yeah, there was some question about what the city's rights and recourse was for selling of city-owned property. So we'll know more about that on Monday evening with the city attorneys here. Does anybody on council have any comments or questions at this time? If not, I will give the floor to Ms. Close. Got to stand up.
Okay, I'll give
it to council. They're the ones voting, not me. I don't think.
This is from Cheryl, who lives next door to the lot. Thank you.
That's fine. No.
Afterwards.
Okay.
Can I read this?
Sure.
Okay, great. And then after I'm finished, there may be some others on Spruce Street that are here that want to say something as well, if that's okay.
Just like a bait and switch?
Sort of.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so this is kind of a long letter, so I'm going to kind of skip through some of it. This is from Cheryl, who lives next door to the unbuildable lot on Spruce Street. As you may or may not know, the lot next door to my house, 129 Spruce Street, was sold in September of this year, and the new owner has plans to build a house. The lot has been unbuildable for many, many years. The square footage for a buildable lot, as you know, is 12,500 square feet. In August of this year, Zero Spruce Street was surveyed, and the actual lot size is 11,396 square feet. At last month's work session, the new owner asked about buying land on the community garden side of Zero Spruce Street to meet the 12,500 foot requirement. Below are reasons why we believe this transaction should not happen. We all know and are proud to be affiliated with the Arbor Day Foundation. We are officially a Tree City USA. This gets kind of scientific here. Did you know that trees help absorb the sounds of traffic in urban areas by 40%? Did you know that neighborhoods with trees are 7 to 9 degrees cooler than those without? Trees reduce energy costs by 25%. As a community and a tree city, we all have the responsibility to take care of our planet. For us, this means specifically Mountain Park for both current and future generations. Part of that responsibility is reducing our carbon footprint as much as possible by not selling off pieces of land to make property buildable. We have an opportunity to take a positive step to offset our carbon emissions. Who doesn't love green space? Our solution for the lot by the garden could be to designate the land as green space. What if we set aside space for the garden club, for their parking, for the deer, the raccoons? The deer actually are kind of living there right now, most of the time. When our trees and other plants absorb harmful gases, plants are able to release oxygen into the atmosphere. Some could argue the climate crisis can be solved by making huge changes. We believe it can be solved by making small changes too. Planting and maintaining trees and other plants who absorb carbon dioxide in the atmosphere mitigates the effects of climate change. I referred to the garden a few times. The garden club members foster a great sense of pride and community where people truly care for each other. Everything is organic. Their beautiful sunflowers are a visual sign that says, "Welcome to Mountain Park" in the summer. The lot above the garden would be a great place to start something big for Mountain Park. The members of the club provide a place for homeowners to dump their leaves so the soil is refreshed and renewed. They are willing to take care of the land. I don't know if you realize this or not, but they share what they grow with others in the community who are not actually working in the club garden, excuse me. The woods above the garden could be cleaned up of all the debris that has been dumped there over the years. It is an eyesore, too, sitting so close to the lake and the other mountain park, and we call that the west entrance. That's what we call it on Spruce Street. Even lakes and entrances need space. More space for the deer sounds good, I think, to most of you. We are a wildlife refuge, you know. I know many of you are like me. We love to look for the deer to cross into your yard or your neighbor's yard. The lots above the garden, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's some discussion about where the gardeners can park. As you know, we've had kind of an issue about no place for the gardeners to park. So those gardeners could be able to use those lots for parking spaces when they're working. It would be a convenience for the members, but also could be used for parking for other events that take place in the park. Our concern for the lakes are this unbuildable lot turned into a buildable lot, there will be runoff. This actually happened to Mountain Park when Mountain Park Overlook was being built in 2019. The runoff water, the silt, the pollution ended up in the corner of beautiful Lake Cheerful. This is the very same situation that happened with Lake Garrett during the development of Brookfield and Lakeside and Ainslie. Over the years, the silt has grown and grown to the point of no return. The revenue to undo what happened to Lake Garrett is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we do not have. Is Lake Cheerful next? She did misspell Lake Cheerful. I might add. We must do a better job of protecting Lake Cheerful than we did with Lake Garrett. And then there's climate change. I'm not going to read that because we know.
Yeah, wrap some of that.
So, okay. Anyway, so I think people have empathy for the new owner who purchased Zero Spruce Street, but it was sold as an unbuildable lot. The sad part is the previous owner knew the lot was unbuildable and has tried for many years to sell it to someone, anyone. I met her and her husband in 2015 and told them so a couple of occasions. She knew her lot was unbuildable based on the survey of her property that took place in August of 21. Personally, I've spent a lot of time and approximately $5,000 in 2021 in litigation fees, surveys, and time proving this was an unbuildable lot. Because she wanted to sell Zero Spruce Street under any circumstances. I spent the money not just for myself, but because I knew my neighbor's feelings. Mr. Mayor and council members, we are here to help you find another way to keep and develop green space, take care of our lakes, protect our trees and wildlife. Good neighbors watch out for each other and their property, and that's why we are here. Okay, so that was from Cheryl. My feeling about it is, that is a very narrow lot, and it has, everybody's known that lot was unbuildable for many years, and then for us to take that space behind the garden where you're dumping city
debris,
if you sell the lot, I'm sorry, Igor, but if you sell that to Igor or the builders, then the debris moves down by my house. Mm-hmm. Deeming my house, that is really going to hurt my market value. Number one. Number two, I guess the garden just goes away, because that'll become kind of like a debris lot. And that's our west entrance to Mountain Park. Welcome to Mountain Park. Here's a big pile of dead limbs, trees, whatever hasn't been chipped yet. And if you think I'm mean now, if that lot moved by my house, Karen knows. I'll be calling every day saying, when's the chipper coming? I want that moved. When's the chipper coming? When's the chipper coming? So that's my thing is that, and the fact that every time it rains, I watch the flood of silt that comes down Spruce Street and goes straight into the lake. And I know that if that becomes a construction site, every bit of that loosed red silt is going to go straight into Lake Cheerful, where we're just now getting ready to dig it out. And so if it wasn't near the lake, I wouldn't be nearly as adamant about not building another house there that close to the lake.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mike, do you want to say anything?
No, that's fine.
Kelly, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just want to back up a couple of the points that I also agree. I don't think it's right that we open up this slippery slope to, hey, I buy an unbuildable lot. Let's start selling off these properties to make them all of a sudden be buildable. That doesn't seem right. I don't think environmentally it's smart to have all that silt going into Lake Cheerful. And hey, I'm a garden member, guilty. I'd really like to keep that going. I think it's a really great aspect of living here. So that's my two cents.
All right. Thank you.
My name is Ryan Beamer, Kelly's husband. I would also add that from an aesthetic perspective, many of you all live in areas of Mountain Park that are much more nested, and you feel the feeling of one of the reasons why we moved here 2 years ago. What I don't want to see at the end of Spruce Street is a continuation of what Beezer is for me, which is sort of like what I don't want to see when I'm driving in. And if we want to be another development like a Beezer, then we're continuing that on Spruce Street. So those of us on Spruce are a borderline that needs to be protected, because it will then continue to encroach further to other homes.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Mike Weiss out of Spruce Street. I sort of back what Cheryl and Suzanne and everybody else said so far.
All right. Yes, sir. You were first,
I'm Mark Carson. I live across the street here. I think this is a terrible precedent for selling off the green space of Mountain Park. Last board meeting, there's a lot of talk about, yeah, we're willing to sell all the Mountain Park sites. That can all be turned into a 501(c) conservation easement. There is one that exists in the city. So the idea of just selling everything off, there is an alternative to keep the green space. Thank you.
All right. Yes,
Whit Engel, I'm the co-compliance officer. I offer no position on what's before the council, except that from a parking perspective, that particular end of Spruce Street and the garden club is a bit hazardous, because the cars have to pull, even if they pull off the side of the road, they stick out. They really shouldn't be parking there anyway, because it, per our code, but they do. And so it poses a little bit of a, well, the cars are unlawfully parked, and they're probably a bit dangerous sticking out into the right of way.
What is your recommendation?
Recommendation is, I heard somewhere in the presentation that perhaps rest of the space or part of the space that's an issue could be used for parking. And I'm thinking that might be a good solution.
Okay. All right. Council, have any questions or comments? All right. I look forward to it. Yes, sir.
So I'm trying to understand how factual it is that the gardens, that the Cavallo garden would go away if we sell this parcel. Is that factually correct?
I'm not going to give an opinion, but I'm going to give you the honest facts. It is true that's where the debris goes, but the city, we did talk about if there had to be an alternative, would there be other places where the city could deposit that debris, and there is. So, I mean, I'm just being perfectly
honest. Okay, so that was my first point. The second point is this argument could be used to curtail all building in Mountain Park. For all these reasons, and I think the reason why we have codes is so we can manage successful building that respects what we want as citizens of Mountain Park. So if the person buying the additional lot makes it a legal lot, I wouldn't see why we would go against our current zoning requirements. It's not logical to me. I may be missing something, but it doesn't make sense to me to not do it. Indeed, the current lot plus the new lot equal a buildable lot, then I see that's the only path short of changing our codes.
Okay. Well, and there is, in all candor, there is the option of not selling the lot, but a variance. That person could go through the variance process and for an undersized lot. And so there's a lot of consideration in these.
And that's what we did across the street, where we took the percentage of the lot and allow them to build that size of a home, a lower percentage.
Right. That's right. Right. Anyone else?
Well, if they bought this particular lot, what would be their total lot size?
All total, it would be over the 12,500 required for sewer line. I cannot tell you what the total of the combined lots would be.
It seems like it was 0.11, wasn't it?
Was it?
Seems like that lot, the city lot, was a 0.11. That's what I thought. I don't have it with me.
It's about 5,000 square feet.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would be almost 17,000.
Yeah. Almost 17.
Yeah.
I mean, I am inclined to hear with Councilman Murphy. I mean, every time, for the 12 years I've been living here, trees, climate change, our lakes and everything, but we have codes for a reason. We have codes that say you need this much caliber of trees. We have codes that say you have to arrest the silting. We have codes to answer a lot of these things. In my opinion, this comes down more towards aesthetics on the street, for the street, than it does necessarily the codes or any of the other items we're talking about.
So, am I understanding you correctly? Are you saying that because we already have code that said you have to have a minimum of 12,500 square feet, that should be the governing? Or are you saying that the aesthetics and the environment?
What I'm saying is this argument, right, doesn't hold water necessarily for me on a lot of things.
Right. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Is there just one city lot next to the garden, or are there multiple city lots?
Well, there are multiple lots.
At that point?
At that, yeah.
Okay.
And we're talking about the one furthest
up. Furthest from the lake.
Yeah. Garden's actually using four lots. There's four empty city lots.
Right.
The garden is actually one of.
Well, the garden's using two or three, and the city's using as a debris deposit.
Yeah.
All right, so Monday night we will get an opinion from the city attorney about what the required
process is, if we are looking at, if the city council decides they want to sell that lot, does it have to put up an auction, et cetera? In the meantime, you know, I think that it's, you know, it's going to require some soul searching by council because, you know, it is a very important lot to some folks for some reasons and very important others for their reasons. And so I certainly think it warrants a lot of consideration as to what the city wants to do. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Does the whole lot have to be sold or just enough to make his?
That's going to be one of the answers that I think we should get from the city attorney on Monday night. Because that was my question, is do we have to sell an entire lot? But I don't know if you can subdivide lots in that community.
Right, you're saying there's four lots there.
Yeah.
Could one lot be sold?
Right, one lot.
That's what I was asking.
What about a half a lot if that's all they need? That's what I'm saying, is that we have to sell the whole lot. So that was my question. Is only, will we sold enough of that lot to meet the 12,500 square foot requirement? Which, you know, would be a nominal amount. So the fact is, the attorney's going to have to opine on that on Monday night. All right.
Could I ask the Spruce residents if you would be more in favor of granting the zoning variance versus selling the lot, or do you view either one as negative?
I'd go for the variance before I sold the property.
Right. And that was what I was trying to say, is we have to consider all the options because, you know, yeah.
Well, the only thing about that is, if you've been over there and looked at that lot, it's extremely narrow. So I don't know how I don't know what kind of house you can build there, but
you mean even with the existing level?
Well, the only thing you're adding is long. You're not adding any depth, and I believe the house behind it comes like right up. I don't see, you can't do your setbacks is the problem. I don't think you can do your rear setbacks and your front setbacks. And
in other words, the variance would have to include reducing the setbacks?
I think so. I mean, I'm not positive, but
no, the lot is square. It's exactly square lot.
So you could get the 30, I mean, is it 25 in the front, 25 in the back?
Right.
And 20 on the side.
You can make a little skinny house, I guess. I mean, it is, anyway, I just, you know, because we fought about that lot for years, with every single person that has bought it,
right,
because it's unbuildable, that they just continue to sell it, that's what makes me so angry. If you know it's unbuildable, it's criminal to sell that to somebody.
Buyer beware.
Yes.
Yeah, we get that.
Do your due diligence.
But then it needs to be city beware, because that's just, I have to totally agree with the principle of the thing. He knew it was not buildable, and now he's asking somebody else to bail him out. Not cool.
Well, council will decide. Yes, ma'am.
What is the square footage of the square lot that you're talking about? What is the square footage?
11,396.
It's on the letter.
11,396.
So it's well under the 12,500.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got plenty to think about between now and Monday night.
Just consider the proximity to the lake here.
Okay.
And a big pile of silver. That's all I'm coming
to. Email your elected officials on the weekend.
But stay out of my driveway.
All right. Let's move on to the next topic, which is the consideration and solution for 220 Sourwood Trail. Is this the
This was the other issue that the city attorney was going to look into, whether it be an abandonment issue or a sale of the property to the property owner.
Well, so we don't have an answer?
I don't have an answer tonight. No,
okay.
That's a legal issue.
Right. Well, I don't know whether there's any point in discussing anything.
But I had to have it on the agenda so that everybody would know it would be on Monday's agenda.
All right. Anybody got any comments on that? Or is it just the same thing as what we just discussed, basically? We'll find out Monday night.
I think 1263 is the same. We're waiting for the attorney to figure out whether we're going to license the, so I didn't fucking want to add.
All right. So 220 and
1263.
There was actually a vote taken on 126 Hickory to do a license, and I'm waiting on the license to be given.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was the discussion about we could license it.
A revocable license, and he was working on getting one of those drafted.
Monday night, we're going to hopefully get a lot of answers from the attorney. All right. Next item on the unfinished business is the mold remediation estimates for the fire station. Anybody want to share what your backstory on this is?
Okay. I passed out a sheet to everybody as a summary of what we're going through. Basically, what happened was the AC system failed. Since we weren't allowed to be in there, everybody knew it failed. We wound up with mold inside the meeting room, the bunk room, and pretty much any horizontal surface that's in there. We took some pictures, wrote a report, and we sent it into the insurance. Insurance had an engineering firm call us. They sent somebody up to do an inspection and an appraisal, evaluation. Their inspector showed up October the 12th. She spent about 3 hours here. They flew her up from Tampa and she had to go back the same day. She was here the same day that the HVAC system people actually showed up to look at what she was finding and what her recommendations were. They figured out why the system failed to work. It took them about 3.5 hours to put the system back together and work again. The report from the HVAC guys was forwarded to the Vertex people. And in talking to him about the report, he said, based on what he's seen, that our insurance should cover the cost of remediation. However, we have heard nothing back from the insurance yet. They told us it would be advisable to go ahead and get quotations from people that are licensed to do this. So I contacted four licensed, bonded companies. I had them come out and do an inspection. Three of the four have submitted quotes. And the numbers on those quotes are listed. The fourth one still has failed to respond at this point in time. Regardless of what we intend to do, we got to claim the building back at some point. The longer it goes, the worse it's going to be.
I have a question. Yeah. We're talking about the fire station on the side of those walls,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we are. When the HVAC guys were here,
literally
outside that wall, Mr. Jaffe, the guy from Cherokee HVAC, showed up. He checked the ductwork, he checked the furnace, he checked the air handlers. This part of the building, at this point in time, shows no evidence. It's all in the other end of the building.
So the rest of the building is clean, clear?
As far as they can see, the rest of the building is clear. There's no problem at this time.
And it's a separate HVA system, and ours never went down.
Yeah, but water doesn't know boundaries. It looks for the path of least resistance. And if it came to this portion of the building, then the mold could fall. But it's clear.
As far as I can say, at this point, it's clear. All right. Anyway, so we've got three quotes. I spent time with inspectors from all four companies. And at this point in time, they all say, once we trigger a contract, it'll be 4 weeks before they can get here.
And once they get here, it's going to be anywhere from 3.5 to 5 days to go through, clean it all out, clean it all up, and certify.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The mold remediation, does this involve the removal of sheetrock walls?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that was only been my experience to be
here. With the type of mold we have over there, what they said was their cleaning processes will work on all the surfaces that are there, walls, bed frames, computer cabinets, the media cabinet, all this stuff. They can clean all of that and it will be fine and it will go away. There won't be a problem. They can clean the walls. They can clean the floors. They did say that like all the bedding that's in there will have to come out. They think they're 90% certain they can save the mattresses and mattress covers. They can't save most of the loose paper. That'll have to go away. The rugs will have to go away. But everything else, every other surface in there, can be cleaned with a process. We do not have to tear the walls.
Okay, good. I'm going to let you wait to finish up.
All right. So, the only other problem is, since we're insured through GIRMA, we are having difficulty figuring out who do we talk to? How do we get an answer?
We've already been told initially under the general liability policy, the property policy, that it's not going to be covered. That's when they turned it over to the mold carrier. There's a different carrier, and I think that's where the hitch is.
Okay. Do we have any knowledge of deductibles and things of this nature?
I don't. I'll reach out tomorrow to Lindsay Albright, the GMA rep.
So basically, the fire station and the EOC over there are uninhabitable?
Yes. So anytime we have a meeting over there, everything's being conducted out in the bay where the equipment is, because there's no evidence out there.
Okay.
What happened was, and here's a quick summary, because of 2020 and COVID, that system did not get serviced. And with all the rain that we had, the 48 inches plus the 20 extra, the grill, the condensate coil, everything outside the building was completely covered in dirt. The compressor couldn't breathe, so if it cut on, the most it would run would be 2 to 3 minutes and then it would shut down.
Overheat.
Okay? So, since it wasn't running, there was no air movement. And if it did run, and there was any condensate at all from the air handler in the attic, all that water sit in the drain pan and never drained out of the building. Because there was a section of pipe about this long
okay. That
was completely clogged. So once they figured all of that out and got all of that fixed, then the system now runs. It does what it's supposed to do. It drains like it's supposed to.
But the patient has passed.
Patient has passed.
Lloyd, who should have been looking after that? Outside, inside, who should have been looking after that?
That's not.
The city. The city
who,
property.
Who with the city?
Whoever's doing the maintenance, I guess.
Well, we're going to have to make sure it happens. That's part of his job, aren't we?
No.
Karen, who normally inspects the HVAC systems?
We schedule routine maintenance for them. And they did come out in 2020 here and 2021, and I thought they had done the other, but it might have happened in between the time. We don't technically have access code to the fire department, so I wasn't going out there, and I don't know that Chad was either.
All right, well, let's not turn this into a brainstorming session. Let's talk about what we got to do now, and
I'm saying, in the future.
And in the future, we need to make sure we don't put ourselves in this position. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
What kind of mold is it?
specifically, they didn't tell me.
But we know it's not mildew and it is a mold.
It is. Well, actually, if you get down to it, mildew is a mold.
But a moderate, a fairly benign.
It is mostly benign.
But the inspector was not the same people that are, we didn't ask the fox what was for dinner, did we?
No.
Okay, so that's no. Totally set, okay.
So I felt you going to, we may need to make a decision to pull the trigger now, or is that, what is your recommended course?
Well, this is where we stand.
Okay.
All right, this has been going on since the first week of October. This is as far as we've got. If we can find out what they're going to do as far as insurance covering us, you know, maybe they will, maybe they won't. The only problem is, how much longer do we wait on them to respond?
Karen, you can follow up tomorrow?
Maybe I will follow up tomorrow, and I would also say that instead of waiting on whether or not the insurance company is going to cover it, go ahead and move forward with it. You could always use ARPA money, which is the American Rescue Plan Act money. We've already received $106,000. You could use the $5,000 or $6,000, however much you choose to spend on that, because it's anything COVID related.
Excellent. Very good. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question. When you say that insurance is there, I feel like they're not going to cover a problem. Well, is the reason because they're saying the city was responsible for the air conditioner, or is there some other reason? Or are they saying it was the city's error, and therefore they're not going to cover it?
Are they saying it's our fault, or was they saying that this is not what's covered under that policy?
I think it was not covered under that policy.
Okay.
The insurance company, yes.
I'll pull the letter tomorrow, but it was just simply that it had been ruled that it was not an insurable expense under the policy.
Not part of our coverage. And now they're flipping it to another carrier for mold remediation, which is a separate policy, I would imagine.
Correct.
Yeah. But they haven't really pointed the finger and said, it's your fault, we're not paying. It's not negligence or anything, correct?
Right.
Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I'm just curious, what kind of cost was this? Or did they give you a price to do this?
We're looking at anywhere from $5,000 to $10,875. $4,900, $69.99, and
$10,875.
Yes, sir, do you have a question?
Regardless of what council decides on NPDFR, will this have to be done?
That's a good question.
I mean, if it's a bad mold,
we can't do anything in the building yet. I think the question is, the answer is, yeah, we probably need to do this regardless of what happens with it.
Yes.
Because the building cannot be utilized in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
I mean, you can take everything out of it, but like he said, it's the walls, the rest of it still got to be.
Something can be done.
Yeah.
And if you decide not to reinstate NPDFR, then that's a lot better facility for parking things like the tractors and the mowers rather than in that shed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's usable space. We need to say, regardless of how we're going to use it.
Okay. All right, anybody else? All right. What do we need to do? Are you going to reach out and find out, maybe have some more information for us on Monday night? We'll have it on the agenda. We have to take a vote on whether we need to go ahead and council needs to address this.
Award the bid, yep.
Yep. All right. Next item is new business. And first item for discussion is the amendments to the general enterprise and T-SPLOS budgets. You want to give us the basic story on that, Karen?
Every year, before the audit is performed, council needs to look at the existing budgets for the various budgets that we have, enterprise, general, and the T-SPLOS. And basically what you're doing is looking at what was budgeted versus what was actually spent, and you're moving money around to balance your budget. That's what this is. The auditors want to see a clean set of books, and that's what this is doing. It's reallocating the money that was within it. It in no way increases your budget. It is simply cleaning it up.
So basically, if we didn't spend money over here, but we spent too much over here, we moved this over here.
That's right.
Just put that in the balance.
That's right. And there are some extra in the back of the room. There's not, I think I only made 10, but it is on the website, so you're welcome to also look at it on the website before Monday.
All right. Anybody have any questions? I know you had looked at it. Did you get your answers from Laura's yet?
Not that I know of.
Okay, hopefully between now and Monday, we'll have those. When's she coming in tomorrow?
She'll be in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then she's out next week.
So tell her to reply.
Sure, there are answers.
Yeah. But be sure she replies to everybody, so we all know going into Monday what her responses were. But they were fair questions. But yeah, there's, she's going to say, I did this and moved this over.
Well, that's what I know she's going to come back and say it was moved. But I'll let her tell me.
She's the one to do it. All right. Next item is the safe boat contract amended to include zoning reviews. What type of zoning reviews are we going to be looking at?
We're looking at setbacks. We're looking at total square footage. We're looking at impervious surface between the 15 and 18% for the home and the accessory structures, including the driveways. You're looking at setbacks.
Who's been doing this up until now?
We've been really fortunate that the plans that have come in are very clearly marked.
Right.
But we had an issue this past time with something not being clearly marked and needing some help making sure that it was reviewed by a planner.
Okay.
And I just honestly believe that going forward, you need to do this. What I do need to do is kind of maybe figure out, he's got a planning consultation fee per hour. I need to get further information with him to say, okay, generally, what does that look like? Is it 1 hour, 2 hours? Because what will have to happen if you guys approve it, then SafeBuilt will have to go into their database, which is Community Core, and have a fee assessment. Because when everything gets entered, I have to assess fees for each and every line item. And it's different for different projects based on what's being done.
So you can't say it's this amount or that amount. It just...
Yeah, I mean, that needs to be worked out. But like, for instance, now, your plan review fee, they have a formula. We need to have them come up with a formula for this. But this is the basic amendment to the SafeBuilt contract.
Thank you. Does council have any questions about this amendment?
So basically, this was a function that we used to do ourselves.
Back when you had BZP.
When we had a person capable of doing this work.
Citizens are re-advised board, CRAB, BZP, right?
Okay. So because we no longer have it, we cannot do it with our existing personnel. And so therefore, we're going to outsource this to SafeBuilt.
You can't do it with 100% accuracy.
Oh, no,
I can do it. I'm just trying to
walk this down a logical path. So we're going to outsource it to a firm that has more resources.
They're planners.
They're planners, yeah.
And we are going to pass these costs along to the builders.
Yes.
And that was kind of where you're going.
Yes.
That's where the black magic is on this.
Yes.
The formula.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone? All right. We'll look forward to getting... Wait, did you have a...
I just had a clarification question. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah.
Is this a situation where every plan will go to this person or just the ones that are in doubt that we can't see that are just simple black and white?
Any type of alteration, new build?
Any and every.
If anything that warrants it.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Well, but anything that warrants it because it's not clear or anything and everything. There's a difference in my mind.
Any new build, any addition of an accessory structure that changes the total area of impervious surface, it just needs to be reviewed.
But if you put a second floor on something, then it wouldn't be warranted.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
That was my point. Worked. Okay, good. Yeah, and that's going to be determined by the building plan. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Nancy, was that a head scratcher? Oh, I caught it out of the corner of my eye. It was a head scratcher. Okay. Moving on to the next item, discussion of Councilmember Silver's suggestion regarding city clerk and administrative assistant positions. I will now yield the floor to you so you can tell us what this is.
Yeah, this is minor. I'm not trying to build up any drama here, but I've had a couple of people find out what was going to happen with our city clerk and had approached me with interest and wondered whether the job would be posted, and I did not have an answer, but I thought I would bring it to council to find out. I don't want to cause trouble, I've had several people approach.
What trouble are you trying to avoid?
It was a closed meeting when we discussed this.
Personnel.
That was my response.
It was a promotion.
But you also voted it after you opened the meeting back up, there wasn't anybody here.
But it was a promotion. Now, the administrative assistant.
I had fear of treading in an area, I just.
That's okay, I understand what you're saying, but for clarification, she was promoted, and the administrative assistant position will be posted and will be.
Has been.
That answers my question, that answers my question, thank you.
That was mine.
That's it.
Okay, good. All right, next is the discussion of the next step for the abandonment of or sale of the Cedar Street property.
Okay, there's a new survey in your packet. Before COVID hit, Wanda Taylor approached council and asked if they would be allowed, her and her neighbor, to purchase the piece of property that's located in front of their home, headed up to what is now legally Cedar Street. What happened is there was the actual roadway shifted over time, probably because of potholes.
A big mud puddle.
Yeah. And so because the road migrated, that area was just kind of no longer used. But it creates an issue with property ownership. And so what they've done is they've had a new survey. They asked the city to get the survey done. I tried and couldn't get it done during COVID. Ann Lovat, who owns, I don't know the street address, Cedar Street, bought the lot next to her, and so she had this new survey done. So I guess it really depends at this point, perhaps on what Brandon Bowen will say Monday night regarding the sale of property. Does it have to be advertised, or is it appropriate to have the adjoining property owner get an appraisal and purchase it, I believe is where that all stands.
Right, so this is another thing we're looking for.
This is another thing we're looking for Monday night.
Well, I hope he gets plenty of rest.
So I can follow because I'm completely lost. So I can see this little scallop, which maybe used to be Cedar Street, and now Cedar Street is paved and not on that scallop. So they are asking the city to abandon its right to that scallop piece.
The area, yes, the area within, yeah, in right here, and so the street.
Is that where the school bus used to park?
No.
But if you look on the tax map, all of this, none of this is owned by a property owner. It's all
city property
showing as right of way.
Yeah.
But it's a huge, I say huge, it's substantial.
And they want it for what?
They want it so that it can no longer be used as a cut through.
As a driveway.
As a driveway.
Because they're driving across their property.
They're driving across private property.
They want that piece right there to eliminate there being a driveway across their property. And this would go to this property here. And then this property would have to get a driveway that comes off of Cedar Street to access this here instead of this driveway through here.
Okay.
Because it goes through private property and other private property as well as.
And Brandon's going to advise us on how to setting a precedent and all that other good stuff Monday.
How to let go of this
problem. Yeah, because, I mean, it makes sense, but I also worry about setting precedents that we may have to adhere to.
We've got a lot of precedent-setting decisions to make.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, again, to be determined by city attorney. All right, last item for discussion is the funding for the charter disposition research.
Okay, several council meetings ago, city council voted to approve a creation of an investigative committee to look at what the steps would be to, if we were ever to consider dissolving our charter. At that point in time, we thought the Vinson Institute would do it for us, or do it with us. For free, and so therefore no budgetary numbers were brought up. Vincent has then since told us they don't view that as their prerogative, and they suggested that our city attorney do the work for us because it's, in their opinion, fairly straightforward. It's already in statute. So we need to allocate some money. for the budget. Unfortunately, Brandon has not been horribly communicative with me about either doing this work or give me even a budget so I can ask you guys for budget money tonight. So I'm going to take a swag and I'm going to ask for 20 hours worth of Brandon's efforts or an outside counsel. If Brandon doesn't want to do it, then I think we should get somebody else who does want to do it. But 20 hours would be roughly $3,000 at a rate of $150 an hour. We may pay more if we go outside.
Right. We so pay him more. He's $250 or $275 an hour.
I thought I saw...
That's his people that work under him.
Paralegals and stuff.
Okay, so I've asked for $5,000, up to an amount up to $5,000 to fund this research effort.
All right, so this is going to be on the agenda for Monday night. Does anybody have any questions for Councilman Murphy? All right, we'll put it on there. Now you're going to take care. You're going to be the one to make the motion.
Yeah, I'm going to review the math and make sure.
All right. Anybody else have any questions for Councilman Murphy or for this council in general?
Well,
yes.
I said something in the very beginning of this. I don't understand why we're in all this about the charter. I don't know why we're going to spend any money. I don't get it.
Well,
do you want us to lose the charter?
No.
Are you trying to cause us to lose it?
Can I respond now?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, no, I don't want the charter to go away. But I also listened to the ARC survey. The ARC survey, the majority of the respondents said to rip up the charter. The second largest cohort said they didn't have enough information. The smallest cohort said they wanted to keep it. So I think all of us voted without any information. So what I want to do is say, what does this thing really look like? It's not a panacea on either side. It's not a Walmart strip center on the green, and it's not $3.50 taxes per year. So I'm trying to get usable information to say, if we were to ever do this, this is what it may look like. I also would like to do the research, so if we, when we negotiate with Roswell, we negotiate from a position of power, having investigated what this looks like. So I'm just trying to be open to
information. All right, that's fair enough. An informed decision is a good decision. All right. Anybody else? If that's the case, then thank you folks tonight.